Hello and welcome back to my FPL channel. I am FPL Dean and today you are here for game week 36 differentials to boost your rank, hopefully up inside whatever target range you're going for. Obviously, I am aiming for the top 1,000. I am sitting currently 5,600 and something. So I'm in chance of it. I've got two chips left to play. I've got the triple captain this week, and honestly, my triple captain this week could very well turn out to be a very differential captain. That is a conversation for team selection on Friday. But you're here for chasing that low-owned player that hopefully is going to pop off. Like a Kevin Sharday last week that got 15 points, or a Kevin De Bruyne who got 11 points. Now, last week, I was on fire. I called Martinez as one of my differentials, and yes, he's slightly over 10%. I obviously got Kevin De Bruyne in there. I had Jared Bowen in there. It was a pretty good week in terms of the differentials I called out on this video. I'm hoping we can do the exact same again this week. So without further ado, smash a like on the video, subscribe if you haven't already subscribed, leave us a comment with a differential that you're looking for this game week as well, and let's jump straight into it. Game week 36 differential notes. What is it that you need to know? Well, we are into the last 3 weeks of the season. That means that this week is worth 33.333% of the remainder of your season. So if there is a time to take a punt, it is now. And look, I will probably be taking some punts. I've got two free transfers myself, and I can guarantee that some of the players I am covering today in this video are slightly over 10%, and it is going to be slightly different, but they are, their effective ownership is under 10%. In terms of the rank that I'm at, and probably most other people's rank, because a lot of the teams where these players are over 10% are dead teams that haven't changed their team since the start of the season. For that reason, they're in this video, and we're going to cover them in some great detail. Now, in terms of the goalkeepers this week, Ariola is still a differential, Leno's still a differential, Flecken, Edison, who was really good last week and has a very nice fixture this week, and Martin is still on there. I know Martin is over 10%, so yeah. Defenders, Aina. He's over 10% as well, but he looks brilliant, and his effective ownership in terms of the top teams is very low. O'Brien, Murillo, yes, he's yellow flag, but potentially he could be a really good option again this week after his goal last week. Wan-Bissaka with that assist, he's still looking good. Ruben Diaz for Man City, great double up in the defense. Maybe that's the way to go. Konsa, Trippier, Collins. I know Collins conceded 3 goals, but I think this week against Ipswich is going to be slightly better for him. Nico Williams with that assist for the Murillo goal. And Sessegnon has to be put in here. They're playing Everton, and he keeps on getting put in advanced areas. His underlying data is actually super good. I wouldn't bet against him not returning again. In the midfield, we're talking about Semenyo. Savinio this week is in there. Matoma, De Bruyne. Now, I'm going to talk about De Bruyne a little bit later on when we get to the midfielder differentials. Trossard, Gibbs-White, Alanga, Bowen. It's Mali Assar. Now, Bowen's just over 10%, but he's still on here for that reason. Asensio's still there. Enzo, that everyone's forgotten about, has been super good over the last few weeks as well for Chelsea. Much better than Cole Palmer. And probably he needs to be in a serious discussion between now and the end of the season. Damsgaard's been great. Garnacho with that massive haul on the weekend. Shardy with that massive haul on the weekend. Jota started for Liverpool. And then the forward line, Jordan Stradon last and obviously missed the last game, but it's a nicer fixture for the Wolves this week. Jackson obviously is looking in good form, particularly with 2 goals in the Conference League prior to the weekend. Better obviously returned. Delap, he's still a very good option with the fixtures coming up for Ipswich Town. Cunha, I know he's over 10%, but I just think that he's going to pop the next few weeks. And Haaland is in here because I think his effective ownership is super low. Not many people will be able to bring him into their teams. He is an unbelievable differential if he's past fit this week, and is definitely the one that I'm exceptionally interested in moving forward before the deadline. The Game Week 36 FDR. So as I said, most of the people that feature in this video, I have got amazing fixtures this week. So Brentford have that Ipswich away fixture, which screams points and big amounts of goals for their assets. I can see a lot of things going down in that game. I can see Mbeumo returning. I can see Shard returning. I can see Collins returning. I can even see Flecken getting an assist from the back line. It's all possible in that particular game. I can also see Liam Delap scoring in this game as well. It is the kind of game where You know, I saw Man United put 3 goals against Brentford on the weekend. It's every kind of game that Delap could definitely do some damage in as well. Now, Aston Villa-Bournemouth could be an interesting game. I think there could be goals in that game as well. Both teams chasing for Europe as well. Brighton versus Wolves, interesting fixture. I'm not sure if I'm overly keen on any particular assets. 100% outside of Cunha, though, in that particular fixture. Now, Everton, still a good team to target over the next couple of weeks. And Fulham, you could argue, are a really good team to target this week, especially with Everton at home. There's some of the assets might be worth a look. West Ham, obviously play Man United off the back of that Europa League. Now, maybe some Man United assets are worth a look. And there is one that actually features on this video. I didn't think I'd be covering another Man United asset this year. But the form and the underlying numbers has to be talked about. Nottingham Forest obviously have the Leicester fixture, which is the best fixture on paper going around at the moment. So you would expect them to return. And yeah, Manchester City have Southampton. So look, those are the fixtures you need to be aware of. That's where you need to be targeting the assets. And ideally, you want to be targeting midfielders and forwards more so than defenders and goalkeepers, just due to the fact there is a lot more upside of attacking returns in the midfield and forward positions. And that's where the majority of points can be had, especially with the way the bonus points are handed out this particular season. The assistant managers of game week 36 table bonus, and they are slim pickings. Slim pickings this week. I don't even know if I'd go for any of these. If I'm being brutally honest, this is the one week where I would not be championing the table bonus when all three games of table bonus are relying on managers whose teams have already been relegated. Does not feel like the correct play. I think realistically, I'd be playing on Pep Guardiola against Southampton. And if you've got three City players, I think then you'd look at Nottingham Forest versus Leicester. I think that's probably your next best bet. Realistically, the only one here I think that's got any hope of table bonus this week is probably McKenna against Brentford. I can't see Van Nistelrooy doing anything against Nottingham Forest, and I definitely can't see Rusk getting anything against Manchester City. If you're a gambling man, you could bet against Brentford. Brentford do concede goals, but they also score a boatload of them, especially against the bottom sides. So for that reason, but Brentford are chasing for Europe still, and these guys are all relegated. So I'm not sure it's a policy that I would be going with necessarily. But if you're a gambling man, McKenna is where I would go. Otherwise, I'd just be playing it safe and going with a Pep or a Nuno this particular game week. The goalkeeper differentials to game week 36. So there are two that remain here from game week 35. And the first one is obviously Flecken, 9.5% ownership. I mean, Ipswich away, you would think is going to be okay, but he did concede 3 against Man United following that obviously clean sheet against Nottingham Forest. So I don't know. I'm not sure if I'd be overly confident on a clean sheet there, but it is definitely something worth looking at. Now, Edison's ownership is not 15.1%. I've made an error there. And as I said, quite often, unfortunately, I make a little error on one of these things almost every single week, because I do use the same kind of template. Edison's ownership is, I think, 5 or 6%. It's not very high at all. He obviously, everything else, though, is correct about that. So he's actually got an expected goals conceded of 1.17 for the season, which is actually pretty good. He's kept 8 clean sheets, which I also thought was interesting. I didn't think Man City had kept that many, but they had. 5.3 million is obviously going to cost you. He's got himself 9 bonus points as well. And I just can't see Southampton scoring against Man City. If I'm being brutally honest, I think he is the most nailed on asset if you're chasing a goalkeeper this week. Flecken obviously does have that kind of potential. I mean, he could be good, but I don't know. Martinez obviously was the standout last week with 9 points. He's got Bournemouth away this week, and I think Bournemouth will give Villa some problems. I can't see a clean sheet this week for Martinez, but then I can see one the following game week against Tottenham and potentially one against Man United. So for that reason, I think Martinez is probably still the best keeper of the four through to the end of the season. But I think this week, Edison's definitely your pick. Then we've obviously got Leno. Now, they've got Everton at home, Brentford away, Man City at home. Not the best three fixtures, but this week against Everton, I would probably put that in a green category rather than the grey category. Again, he's got 1.17 expected goals conceded per 90, which is actually pretty damn good. It puts him on the same level as Manchester City's goalkeeper. And that feels pretty good. But again, you're paying $5 million, and He's only kept 5 clean sheets for the season, so that's not overly fantastic underlying data. And he's got, I mean, Aston Villa and Fulham just have the same amount of clean sheets. It's actually unbelievable how poor they have been. It's just one of those things, unfortunately. I think goalkeepers, you'd be wasting a transfer on any of these goalkeepers this week. The best goalkeeper to buy is obviously Matt Selves against Leicester. They probably have the best chance of keeping a clean sheet outside of Edison if you are so inclined that particular way inclined. So the defenders for game week 36, and look, two of these guys stay the same as well. Now, Nico Williams is still, I think, probably the best defender to buy this week. You could bring in an Aina. Aina's 12.5% ownership, I think. But effective ownership is super low because of the fact, obviously, he got injured. Lots of people sold him. A lot of the teams that still have him are dead teams that just had him at the start of the year when he was popular and then haven't looked at their teams for the last 30-odd weeks. Nico Williams, though, is definitely the pick. 3.7% ownership, 0.14 expected goal involvement per 90. Obviously added an extra assist to his tally over the week. So he's got 1 goal and 3 assists now with 10 clean sheets. Expected goals conceded per 90 continues to go the wrong way, though. It's up to 1.37 now. He's going to cost you 4.5 million. But the next two fixtures, you would think Nottingham Forest keep 2 clean sheets the next 2 weeks. You would think that that would be the case. That's the way I would be thinking. Now, Collins, Ipswich away, again, a really good asset to have here. He's up to 4.6 million now, 0.11 expected goals per 90. Sorry, goal involvement per 90. But 1.52 expected goals conceded per 90 means that you're probably not going to get a clean sheet. He's only kept 6 for the season. Again, really low ownership. Again, could be another option to have a third Brentford asset in your team. And I don't mind that, particularly against Ipswich this game week. However, if you want a defender that you would think is probably a lock and you want to get a third Man City asset that's probably almost 100% nailed, it's Ruben Dias. 4.2% ownership of that Southampton away fixture. He's actually got 0.11 expected goal involvement per 90, which I thought was a lot higher than what I was expecting to be when I did the research into this. His expected goals conceded per 90 is 1.2, so fairly good in comparison to the other defenders on this list. But he's got no goals, he's got no assists, and all he's done is keep 9 clean sheets for the season. And he's going to cost you 5.5 million, which is quite a hefty investment into your defense at this time of the season when you could be doing other transfers in the midfield and forward, really chasing those points. I can't see a really attacking return from Ruben Dias. But one that I can see an attacking return for is Sessegnon. Now, his minutes are a little bit sketchy. Obviously, he got that a massive 11 points in that blank game week 34 in their last minute winner against Southampton. But I don't, again, Fulham don't keep many clean sheets. They've only kept, well, 5 clean sheets for the season. Sessegnon, obviously, they have 5 clean sheets this season. He has got 4 goals and 2 assists, though, and he's dirt cheap, 4.2 million, really good. And that underlying attacking data per 90, 0.47 expected goal involvement per 90, is unbelievably good. There's no reason to think that he can't do that again. And for that reason, I think he could be a really good asset. I'm not sure. Maybe it's where you want to go. It just could be a really good asset. Again, expected goals conceded per 90, 1.35. The main concern I've got with Sessegnon is the minutes risk. He only played 57 minutes on the weekend. You don't want that. You want him to be playing at least 60 before being subbed, especially if they're keeping a clean sheet. You don't want him coming off before 60. And for that reason, you do have to go with a little bit of caution in regards to Sessegnon this particular game week. The midfielder differentials. Now, this is very interesting. So, look, honestly, you could have Damsgaard in there like I had last week, but this week I've got Sade. You could have anyone else other than Enzo. And look, the fixtures for Enzo aren't very good, but his data over the last 5 weeks has been unbelievably good. He's literally carrying Chelsea at the moment. He's taken over from Cole Palmer and Nicholas Jackson. He's added to it. I just think that he has to be back in the conversation. I mean, 3.8% ownership, 4.7 million. I can see him doing some damage the next few weeks, and particularly against Man United and against Newcastle. Newcastle play like he did against Brighton this weekend. Enzo could be a really good punt, Really good punt. I really like him. Again, the underlying data is pretty strong here as well. 0.21 expected goals per 90, 0.2 expected assists per 90. He also has now 6 goals and 8 assists for the season. He's actually got 20 goals and assists combined across all competitions. So he's consistently getting it done. He's way better than what you pay. I just think that if you've got like a Jacob Murphy and you're worrying about him or a Clivett, a move to Enzo is actually quite feasible. Like, honestly, it's quite feasible. The form that the man is in, I really like it. Now, I can't believe I'm punting on this, but Alejandro Garnacho is worth a look this week. 4.8% ownership. He's only going to cost you $5.9 million, so he's a good Clivett or Murphy replacement. He's got an expected goals per 90 of 0.31, expected assists per 90 of 0.11. He's now got, after last weekend, where he got 2 attacking returns, he's now up to 6 goals and 4 assists of the season. But the key thing is that I think Ruben Amorim wants to see whether Garnacho can become reliable and consistent between now and the end of the season, because I reckon he's in line to be sold in the summer. So I think it's on Garnacho to show that he is part of the team moving forward. And for that reason, I just think with the 3 fixtures remaining, Garnacho is probably going to start all 3 of them like he did on the weekend. Like, I thought he was going to get rested on the weekend, but he didn't. The fact that he didn't and then he played 90 minutes makes you think that, you know, he hasn't missed a game for like, so ever since that Man City game, he's been involved in every single Premier League game. So I just can't see him not being involved. And I think he starts. And West Ham are this week. And we know that West Ham don't defend well. For that reason, I think he's a really good one-week punt. I'll definitely be having a look at him if I was on a free hit or a wild card this week for that very reason. Now, I haven't included Kevin De Bruyne in here. And I'm going to explain why I haven't included him. Kevin De Bruyne has played the last 5 Premier League games in a row and been played on average over 80 minutes each of those 5 games. In fact, most of the time he's actually made 90 minutes or gone off just before the end of the game in injury time. Now, he missed the FA Cup semi-final. Now, when I was looking at the remaining fixtures, I personally believe I can't see him not playing in the FA Cup final. I can't see him not starting against Bournemouth in that last game at the Etihad Stadium. And I can't see him not starting against Fulham in the final Premier League game that he's going to play in. I think he starts all 3 of them. Which makes me think that he's almost likely, I know he might not be, I could be completely wrong, so don't take this as gospel, but if my line of thinking is correct, he's going to get Pep Rouletted this weekend against Southampton. If there's a fixture to rest him in prior to him playing 3 games in a week, it's this week against Southampton. The bottom team, they don't need him, and therefore, if he gets benched, I think Savinho, who hasn't played in any of the last 2 games, but has played in the FA Cup, is the perfect candidate to come in. And at 2.6% ownership, $6.2 million, Southampton concede a lot of chances and goals from the right-hand side. This screams a Savinho game. So he's got an expected goals per 90 of 0.25, expected assists per 90 of 0.31. He has only got 1 goal, but he's got 11 assists this season. I could easily see him starting along with Haaland this week and combining for a number of goals. If I'm being brutally honest, that's the only reason why Savinho's in here instead of Kevin De Bruyne, based on that line of thinking. Because originally I was going to keep Kevin De Bruyne in here again. Then I thought about it, and that's my line of thinking behind it. Now, Kevin Sade, I think, is a lock. He's scored 3 goals down his last 2 game weeks since going on a mad run of not scoring. He's banging form, 1.1% ownership. Again, Damsgaard and him, I think Damsgaard's up to 1.2% ownership. Sade's obviously 1.1%. The Ipswich away fixture is brilliant. I'm actively also considering bringing him in for a Clivett or a Jacob Murphy this week in my own team and playing 3 Brentford, like Wissashade and Mbeumo against Ipswich. I could see if I'd done that on the weekend, imagine how many points I would have got. Would have got 15 from Sade, 5 captain Mbeumo would have been 10. That's 25. And then we've got 7 from Wissa. That would have been 32 points from 3 players with my captain being played. I can see a world where I could definitely do this move myself. 0.35 expected goals per 90, 0.07 expected assists per 90. He's actually got 10 goals and 4 assists in the season. I know he scored a hat-trick and he got that brace, obviously, on the weekend, which accounts for 5 of the 10 goals. But at 5.1 million, that is just dirt cheap. There's so much to love there. And the fixture on paper for Savinho, Sade, Garnacho, They're all such good options. They're all such good one-week punts, I believe, this particular game week. Lastly, the forward differentials. Now, these are slightly controversial. Two of these are way over 10%. So Cunha, 14% ownership. Again, effective ownership, significantly less. There's a lot of dead teams that still have him from earlier on in the season. And Haaland, ditto. Most of the teams that own Haaland are not actively playing the game. They don't actively make transfers in the team. They've just had Haaland in there since before he was injured, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to start with Van Linssen, though. And I am aware that his name is pronounced Evan Nilsson. I just like calling him Van Linssen because I don't know why. I just do. 3.7% ownership. He scored against Arsenal. He obviously got the assist against Man United as well as being sent off. He is in form. He is getting a lot of big chances per 90 minutes. He's up to 0.5 expected goals per 90, which is huge. 0.07 expected assists per 90. 10 goals and 5 assists for the season now. 5.8 million. He's dirt cheap. And honestly, you could bring him in this week, and I wouldn't be surprised if he scored this week. I mean, against Man City, might be a bit more difficult. But then Leicester at home in the final fixture, he's 100% in my free hit draft in game week 38. 100% he's in. Probably with two other Bournemouth assets. I really like the look of him. I think it's a great move. I wouldn't be surprised if he returned this week. Now, when we look at Cunha, the fixtures on paper compared to other popular forwards like Wood, your Wissers, your Marmouches, even your Isaacs and your Watkins aren't as good on paper, but Cunha is carrying Wolves and he's carried them for almost the entire season. 0.3 expected goals per 90, 0.19 expected assists per 90. He's got 22 attacking returns this season, 15 goals, 7 assists in a Wolves team, and he's only going to cost you 7.1 million. At 14% ownership, I just really love him as a pick this game week. Yeah, he's just so good. I think when you just compare him to other forwards, you can understand why he potentially misses out. But I just think that Brighton at home is a really good fixture. Brentford at home is not a bad fixture. And Crystal Palace away, post them playing in the FA Cup final, I think is a great fixture for him. I think that should be green, that one. And then obviously we've got Nicholas Jackson, 6.7% ownership. Again, the fixtures aren't overly kind, but he's come back into some form. Obviously a double in the Conference League, blanked against Liverpool, but then scored the weekend prior to that. 0.48 expected goals per 90, 0.08 expected assists per 90. He's got 16 attacking returns to the season, 10 goals and 6 assists, 7.7 million. Again, I don't mind it. Differential punts at this time of the season can pay off massively. Jamie Vardy, as you saw last week, 9 points. He outscored almost all these forwards last week. He did outscore all these forwards last week. So again, going for a differential can definitely pay off. I just think it's the way to go for the last 3 weeks. Have a bit of fun, finish the season with a bang, and hope you get green rockets. Then lastly, we're going to talk about Erling Haaland. Now, in my own team this week, and I will be listening to Pep's conference, and depending on who you talk to and the narrative that they are spinning, he didn't come on because he's not fit in game week 35, then why was he on the bench? Was he on the bench just to get used to being back within the match day squad? I just think that if he wasn't fit enough to start 35, you would want him to get minutes before the FA Cup final. I can't see them just starting him straight off the bat in the FA Cup final. So for that reason, I think he starts in game week 36 against Southampton. Now, I don't know how many minutes he plays. Maybe he plays 60, maybe he plays 70 and then gets taken off of Marmoush. I don't know. I'm just saying that. Marmoush probably starts with him, if I'm being brutally honest. I think that's why Kevin De Bruyne drops to the bench. That's just what I'm thinking. I just think this is such a differential play because no one at my rank is probably going to be bringing in Haaland with one free transfer. I've got 7.4 million in the bank. Exact money to go from Marmoush to Haaland in my own squad. 0.75 expected goals per 90, 0.06 expected assists per 90. Even with all the games he's missed, he's still banged in 21 goals, barely any from the penalty spot, with 3 assists. Obviously, he cost an absolute fortune at 14.8 million, but he could be the ultimate differential this week. And for that reason, I just think that if he's fit and we get any hint that he's starting prior to the deadline, I may well bring him in. And I may well put my triple captaincy on him. I'm not even lying. I might just take a risk and hope that he gets more than the 6 points he got against Southampton the first time round. So, yeah, I just think it's a great play. I'm really intrigued by it, and I think I'm going to do it. So that's my differentials for game week 36. Who do you like this week that I have put forward for suggestions? Is there someone that takes your fancy more than others? Am I barking mad with the midfielders? Am I barking mad on the Kevin De Bruyne being benched for Savinho? Is that just something that I can see? Or is it something else that you can see as well? I just think that that Southampton fixture is the perfect time to give that man a rest prior to that last game week, well, the last final week of his career at Manchester City, and let him play the last three games from the start. I don't know. That's just my personal thoughts. Let me know in the comments which ones you are interested in this week. Which punts are you looking at? Or are you just going to be following the template crowd and protecting your rank? Let me know in the comments. I'll see you again tomorrow for transfer tips, and then Friday for team selection. And then Saturday, I'm being joined by FPL Have a Beer for my Game Week 36 triple captaincy deadline stream. I hope to see you then. That's been the D Unit.